And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment Live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave alongside Trisha, and Eric Joseph has left the building.
No, he's standing right here.
Oh, he's still there. Okay. Anyway.
Left the studio.
Left the studio is even more appropriate. But we, when was that? About 6 months ago, we saw a fabulous Cirque du Soleil show called Love. And of course, this music is the Beatles from the soundtrack Love. And
it was like your second or third time. It was my first time.
Yeah.
And I had so many friends talking about what a wonderful show it was, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. But the reason we waited this long to actually do our review is because they've been making some changes.
They have been making changes, and the person that would know all about that is Coach Dan Niehaus, Cirque du Soleil Love. Dan, how are you?
Good, thank you. Good morning to everybody there.
Good morning to you. Thank you so much for calling in, because I got to tell you, I know there's changes, and we can't wait to hear about that, but I've seen Love at least twice, maybe three times, and I can't get enough of it. This is a fabulous show. And before we get into what's new about the new Love production, tell us a little bit about your background in gymnastics and how you came to be involved with Cirque du Soleil.
Well, I was a high-performance coach of men and women in Canada, national team coach, and I was approached in 1999 if I was interested in venturing off into a different type of career, still involved in sport, but in a different way. So I actually came to Vegas and started my career with Cirque at Mystère from 2000 to 2005, and then I began the pre-production of Love in 2005 until now, of course, with the refresh. So my background is a strong gymnastics background, which I fortunately use every day. I still in the sport, but not in, I'm in a different venue, actually.
Yeah, it would be, yeah, definitely a different venue. And how was that transition for you? I mean, coming strictly out of sports as a gymnastics coach into a musical production with a lot of different entertainers, what did you have to learn that was different than what you did in the past?
Wow, that's a great question, because Cirque, we call the learning curve, is just a completely vertical line. You're completely immersed in something that you really have no information about when it comes to musicality or with the technical departments or the big machine you're working with. And for me, when I went to Mystère, I worked with so many talented, mostly Eastern European, with Mystère, because there's so many acts that involve high bar trapeze or cedar board and trampoline. So I had to work myself into their culture as well as not just their activity. But the biggest change for me was the day-to-day type of activities that we find ourselves in. We don't start till 2 in the afternoon, and lots of times we're not out of the building until 12:30 a.m., 1 a.m. So very night culture type of activity. But, you know, the biggest thing for me was the cultural changes that I had to deal with versus a North American mentality, but hitting the entire world. 15 to 18 countries are usually represented in a particular show, so it's the Cirque family becomes strong once you get yourself involved in it.
That is really cool. So are you at every performance?
Yes, I'm glad you've seen it a couple times. I've seen it 4,300 times.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And, we watch particularly the acrobatic components. We have it pretty much tuned into our brain when we should be looking at a monitor or heading into the theater to watch something. You know, the great thing about working with the Beatles is that their songs are a minute 30 to a minute 45 long, so it's a very quick change.
Gotcha.
You know, the audience doesn't get necessarily tired of watching because it just seems to rotate so quickly. We watch every acrobatic act, and it's always, we tape every single performance so we can review immediately after the act or right after the show with the artist. So I see every show, but at least parts of every show anyway.
Excellent. Now, Cirque is known for being so creative, but also for allowing the creativity of their performers, gymnasts, acrobats, to flourish as well. For instance, I think it was Mystere that the ribbon, the acrobat on the ribbon, that
yep.
she came up with that procedure to make it look like the ribbon was never ending, even though she was in one spot. So is
yes.
that, how is that as a challenge for you as a coach? You're used to working with high performance gymnastics, but to also be with this co-creativity where they might come to you with an idea.
Yeah, it's absolutely something we embrace because we want the artist to stay interested and engaged in what they're doing. It's important that they have input to it. If it's simply doing the same rhythm every single day, repetitiveness, it seems like they hit their head on the ceiling. So when there's an opportunity for them to contribute, they always will. And Ginger and Mystere, with that endless tissue, they call it, was
right.
actually rewarded by the company, acknowledging that she created an apparatus. So in that sense, she's recognized for contributing to the company, and it's acknowledged either in the program or within the company itself. So the artists are always encouraged to offer up their ideas and suggestions. And especially in Refresh, we have the opportunity of utilizing some of the skills and expertise that the artists have. Because lots of times as designers or as coaches, we don't know what the action is happening inside, what their perception of what they see. And if there's an opportunity they can take without, you know, with minimal risk, then we're going to seize that opportunity and have them explore it. So, yeah, artist involvement is key.
You know, it's, oh, what is that? I'm getting a Skype call right live. Is that strange or not? The technology, what can you say? But, you know, I did some reading about you, and I think this June it's going to be 16 years. And it mm-hmm. says this was your dream job to work for Cirque du Soleil. Talk
yeah,
about that.
Well,
is it still your dream job?
It is a great job. I mean, every time, you know, you kind of, it's surreal sometimes. You look at your pay stub and it says Cirque Apple. So really, when you think that part of your responsibility is to keep the Beatles music alive and current, it ends up being a dream job because you're like, I just can't believe I'm actually, you know, you get to talk to Olivia Harrison and Yoko
yeah.
Ono and you know, it's really a kind of a strange thing, and they're just really normal people with you know, these huge stars beside their name. And to work for Cirque, you know, our company's gone through some changes, you know, like many companies do over the last 10 years, but it's still an environment that's not like any other. Backstage, when you go backstage, it's a completely different experience altogether. People are still mesmerized, but for us, it's a, you know, it's a work environment, much like you have. It's interesting to go every day, and, you know, I get to go to any show I want, backstage, watch the show, stuff like that. And every show is magical. So I think the dream job is that it's just such an amazing place to be at every day.
Now, you talk about backstage. Who are some of the biggest celebrities that you've had just come by backstage that you can recall?
Oh, gosh. There's been so many. I mean, my favorite, Bono's been my favorite one. You know, gosh.
I read that President Clinton was backstage.
President Clinton, and I mean, pretty much every major star has been backstage, and you get to meet, I mean, not just, you get to meet sports people too, you know, Shaq and all these type of, all the boxers that come into town, they always will stroll around, and actually it gets sometimes a bit old, because they come in the training room and there's photo ops for everybody, and you're like, okay, now we have to move along because we have to warm up and get things moving. So you end up with these stray people that hang out in your training room, and you're just like, we need to get back to work, so can you just move to the hallway? But, you know, just, I mean, it's another good perk of the job, for sure. I've got a big album that I've kept all my pictures with the famous people, and it just gets, you know, like I said, you get 20, 30 pictures, you're like, okay, I don't need any more pictures. I'm just at that point. But, I mean, it's great to be, you know, like, just people for people that worked with the Beatles before, all of the, you know, unfortunately, Sir George Martin just passed away last week.
Right.
Meeting someone like him, but getting to work with his son, Giles, just and hear the stories that they have about the time of the Beatles and the recordings and stuff like that is another great moment.
That's got to be so, I mean, in a way exciting from a standpoint, not so much they're famous, but the diversity of you know, the different type of industries that come by, not, you know, from presidents to actors, actresses, probably a bunch of different types of people and the success they've had in their lives. And one other question, then I'm going to let Tricia have several questions for you. I understand both surviving Beatles were at the premiere of Love, Ringo and Paul, right?
Yeah, they were at the initial launch back in 2006, and they are scheduled to be here for the refresh premiere on July 14th. So
is that right?
Yes, so they'll be back to watch the show, and of course that is like amazing.
Oh, yeah.
The energy is just insane. People are just like watching them watch the show. So
yeah.
You know, we have to make sure we still put on a good show. But yeah, they're scheduled to be at our premiere on the 14th.
When that happens, when the entertainers, the acrobat guy, the girls, whoever's in the show, knows there's going to be someone that well known, do you notice a little change in how they approach the show?
Yeah. Well, actually, they're not supposed to, but they have a tendency to want to turn and look.
Yeah.
and many times. They will spot someone in the audience and go, so-and-so sitting in section 208, blah, blah, blah. And everyone will make sure that they take a turn and take a look. Or
that's funny.
If they're sitting on a piece of acrobatic equipment or they're in the grid looking down, they all will spy on it.
And that's
certainly, we don't like those side games, but we can't, you know. We can't enforce that.
It's just sort of human nature. And, of course, they always put on a great show. And I suspect part of the coach isn't just for you is not just the technical aspects, but like a lot of coaches in sports, their motivation, inspiration. How big is that part of what you do?
Oh, that's a huge factor. I mean, they go out, they're very proud to go out every night, but when they have someone they're performing for, if they have their parents or their cousins or something like that, I mean, they're ready to go, ready to contribute every single number, let me in it, let me do it. And then we really try to accommodate those type of requests, but
cool.
There's always, if there's another Cirque show in the house where, you know, they've got a day off and we've got the tickets and we want them to see the show, you can always tell when there's a couple hundred people from another show because they're yelling and screaming, and our people are giving it their all. So a lot of that, it's really good to have people that they know in the house because they really go at it.
Well, and I absolutely love Cirque du Soleil for the fact that they do have such a family-like atmosphere for for their dancers, for their acrobats, for all their performers. And at least from what I've heard, I've had a couple, my son has had a couple friends that have performed at Cirque shows. And tell me about this refresh, because, you know, every show that you guys have come with is so contemporary, whether it be the addition of you know, hip hop and more, you know, modern dance or just everything, skateboarding and I mean, anything that is seen as cutting edge, you guys have included in a show. So tell me a little bit about this refresh and what we should expect in this.
Well, of course, within 10 years, you can just look around your studio there and find out that technology has increased over the last 10 years, probably twofold. I don't even know, maybe even more. So what we've tried to do, first of all, is increase we're up to speed with all the technology. So, for example, our stage used to be a black brown. Now it's a light gray. So that'll allow projections to be on the floor. So it's an interactive, it's essentially an interactive television we're dancing on and performing on. So we've increased that capability. The lighting has changed, more lighting changes, and believe it or not, it's louder. They've added more speakers. So let me tell you, you are at a rock concert for sure on top of Savile Row in Liverpool. So it's very loud. Now, as far as content goes, the actual full show won't be premiered until June. There's a couple special surprises in which they're working on, which I can't tell you about, but the teaser is it's going to be amazing. So right away, you'll notice the show is brighter. All the costuming has been redone, and the show that you saw was quite dark at the beginning, especially as it finished the bombing scene, if you're familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
And now the bombing scene is the bricks are exploded from CO2 cannons, so it's not people that are flying through the bricks. The bricks are actually timed to explode. So you'll really see a noticeable difference in the opening. But the I Am the Walrus song has been replaced with Twist and Shout, which is,
of course,
completely different rhythm. And it takes you from that bombing site right to Twist and Shout, into Hold Your Hand, and into Drive My Car. So that's what we call Rock and Roll Run, that trio of songs. And you'll see the energy is way higher than it was with the Walrus. So it gets you right in the Beatles mood right away. And again, a minute 30, those three songs just fly by, and all of a sudden you're right into the next number. So the show is much, so the rhythm has changed. It's much quicker.
Yeah, that I think that's good because, I mean, I personally love, you know, practically every Beatles song that's ever come out, and some of the well-known ones, some of the not so well-known, but I Am a Walrus, I always love that show, but I can appreciate Twist and Shout starting off the show that could just, like a rocket ship, just creating energy like crazy.
Yeah, exactly, and like you were saying earlier, too, is that they've included more different variants of dance. Not, you know, it's got the B-boy hip-hop type feel to it, too, but they've also included almost like a little montage of dance that started with Twist and Shout and moving all through the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and into the current time. So it kind of is a portrait of how any type of dance can be displayed with something like Twist and Shout from, you know, the 60s.
That is just really cool. And Dan Niehaus, coach for Love Cirque du Soleil at the Mirage Hotel, we really appreciate you calling in. We'll be down in Vegas again. We'd love to meet with you. Follow-up interviews, because you do a remarkable job creating such a great entertainment package for people. We really appreciate you.
And it's a cult classic. I mean, people go and watch Love again and again and again. They love the music and they love the choreography and the feel. And, you know, it doesn't matter how many times you've seen it. You know, so I'm glad that you're keeping parts of it that will be familiar for those people who go a lot. But the redo, so exciting. So the premiere of the complete redo show is July 14th?
That's correct.
That is excellent. Of course, they can go the Mirage website, I suspect, call the Mirage to get tickets. I'm sure it's going to be well received, so they should probably get tickets pretty quickly.
Well, it's either the Mirage website or CirqueDuSoleil.com, of course.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, there's plenty of opportunities to come see the show. Like I said, 85% of the show is completed now, but the total package will be delivered on the 14th. So, and when you do come to Vegas, I certainly hope you get in touch with the publicist, and I'd be happy to take you around backstage and introduce you to some of the key people in the show.
Well, I appreciate that. That is really cool. Dan Niehaus, thank you so much. And, of course, we'll be giving away some tickets. Everyone, just check our website out on Facebook, and we'll let you know how, and that's BreakRadioShow.com. Dan, thank you so much. Looking forward to meeting you very, very soon.
Great. Thank you so much. Have a good morning.
Thank you, Coach Dan.
Dan Niehaus, head coach for definitely for the Love Cirque du Soleil. Really good. If you love the Beatles, I mean, there's so much to love about that show. Everyone knows the Beatles. And then with all the entertainers there, it is fantastic. And coming up in just a few minutes, Rosalind Kang, great entertainer.
Yes.
She is performing in L.A. We're going to talk all about that. This is Breakthrough Entertainment Live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.